This episode is brought to you by Morty, Buzzshot, Cogs by Clockwork Dog, Recon, and Patreon supporters like you.
Cogs by Clockwork Dog is an easy-to-use software-hardware platform for running interactive events, including escape rooms and other immersive experiences. Their plug-and-play hardware seamlessly integrates with their software, so you can create a show with lighting and sound cues without having to write a single line of code. Map all kinds of inputs to outputs by building up simple logic steps, which determine what you want to happen and when. Some of the best experiences in the world use Cogs, including The Room in Berlin and Phantom Peak in London. Cogs helps you create a full-on theatrical show, complete with lighting and sound cues, and all sorts of triggers. The Room in Berlin builds all their new escape rooms on the system, and it's allowed them to achieve their very high standards for immersion, lighting, sound, and automation by building their own custom plugins. Get the Cogs starter set for only $130 plus free shipping to the USA. This bundle is usually valued at $257. You can learn more and purchase your starter set at cogs.show. Use code REPOD at checkout. That's REPOD. Link and details in the show notes.
Welcome to the Reality Escape Pod, your lifeline when you need to get away from the real world. I'm David Spira, alongside my co-host, PG Law. Together, we're exploring immersive gaming from all angles, and we'll be joined by guests who really know their stuff. This season, we are shining a spotlight on Southern California in celebration of our convention, Recon, which will be in Universal City, California on August 18th and 19th, 2024. Tickets are on sale now at realityescapecon.com. And today's guests are Jason and Marquetta Richard, co-owners of Steel and Escape in San Diego, California. Since 2015, they have been entertaining guests with a unique and playful approach to escape room design that is high on fun and player action. Welcome, Jason and Marquetta.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
So let's start with the origin story for Steel and Escape. What were you and Marquetta doing before you opened your escape room?
All right. So I can't remember the details. So this is as accurate as I can remember it. And we'll see what Marquetta has to say afterwards. I had finished my deployment and I went to Czech to go see Marquetta. And we took a 2-week break to Budapest. And we were just wandering around Budapest. And every corner we went through said escape room. Finally, I was thinking, what are these things? They were even featured in the Lonely Planet guide. So finally, we went to go try one out. And if you've been to Budapest, it's kind of a maze to find it. Like, we were going into some really interesting areas.
No joke about that, my friend.
I don't think they have a lot of rules there. But going through it, about 20 minutes in, and I'm thinking, here I am. I'm a big gamer. Marquetta's not really a gamer, but you have to have two people. And about 2 minutes in, she starts getting into it. And we find that tool you don't know what to do with. And you stick it in a wall and a secret door opens. And we're about the 20-minute mark. And I'm just hooked. I'm not even thinking about the room anymore. I'm just thinking San Diego needs one of these. And as we go through, we're at the last 10 minutes left. I'm like, we're going to fail this because there's a whole bunch of math on the walls. And she just starts diving in, doing this math in her head. And I'm just like, ready to fail this thing. And she's just crushing it. And she comes out with this math equation and types it in and it works. And I'm just, that was that other moment where I'm like, I married her because she was very smart and we had these amazing conversations. But
aww, that's so cute.
At some point, she became a mom, a great mom. And I had forgotten how smart she was. And doing that math, doing that first room together, I was just so blown away with it that I had forgotten that. At the end of the game, the whole time I'm thinking this would be great for families and it would be great for couples to see how smart their spouses or the other person is with these puzzles. So we had all these day plans. We were going to go to a spa, go do all these things. And we went to lunch. And the whole time at lunch, I'm thinking, we have to do another one. Let's cancel all of our plans. So we went and did another one. And on the bus ride home, I'm already just writing down my ideas and coming up with names. And I look at her and I'm like, this is for real. I really want to do this. And she's like, all right, I'm on board. Let's figure this thing out.
Wow. There's a lot to unpack in that story.
Yeah.
How did he do on that retelling?
No, it was awesome. But the final puzzle, it was really interesting. And I think Jason had such a hard time with it because it was European game. And everything was in grams and kilograms. And Jason was just so confused. It doesn't make sense. Where are my pounds? So yeah, we crashed it. It was awesome. It was really cool. It was very different. And you know, I think just walking around the city and just seeing all these flyers saying, are you up for a challenge? Can you do it? And Jason's like, heck yeah. I can do it. I don't know what it is, but I can do it because I'm a Navy SEAL.
But he said that you were not a gamer, but you still had fun, which I think is the best part, actually.
It was really cool. It was very different. It was something we'd never done before, and we didn't know it exists. And we just had like all these plans, just exploring the town. And then we just did this. And it was really fun. Just two of us, you know, it was our first trip after having two kids and just being stay-at-home mom for so long. It was really cool. Just about two of us.
That's wonderful. Jason, you were one of the earliest owners to write into Room Escape Artist with a question. You may have even been the first. Back then, you were really struggling with balancing your creative desires with business needs. And if I'm remembering correctly, your escape room business was struggling and you were really holding it up with the money you were making in the Navy. Talk to us a little bit about what those early days were like.
It was that idea that I had so much fun doing the escape room. If I build this, everyone is going to come play this because it's such a great experience and they're going to love it. And when they do it, they're going to tell their friends. And I believe we might have been the third or fourth room in San Diego. And we just kind of waited for months trying to figure out advertising. And that's what Marketta can speak to because she handled all the marketing and guerrilla marketing and everything we tried. But I remember after about 2 months and figuring out we got to pay rent, that's when we took that leap and said, all right, we're going to go to Groupon. And those 2 months of our contract were just painful, utterly painful. And it's because Groupon had these discounts. And I just distinctly remember one evening, it was 8 p.m. and we had a booking for two. So I drove to the business, set everything up to run one game, which came out because of Groupon. It came out to us making like $12. And I'm thinking, this wasn't even worth the trip out here. I don't know what really changed after that, except for Marketta jumping into marketing and figuring it out. But it was for a while, I'd say 3 years of just paying with the Navy and using that paycheck just to keep things going, hoping the momentum would eventually take over and the word would get out.
What year was this when you first opened so we can get an idea of the era?
I think it was 2016 when we started, but it took us a very long time to open because no one wanted us. No one knew what escape rooms are.
You mean like the landlords trying to find a place to rent?
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was really hard to find a place. And then just like the whole opening thing, building stuff with Jason being active duty, just super busy with two little kids. We couldn't be there for like 12 hours a day. So it took us a very long time. And then just the whole thing opening. Jason said, we thought we open, people will come, but they didn't. And we had to learn. We had to start reading books, checking internet, taking classes, and then we figured it out.
So which classes did you take? Do you remember?
I remember getting a book, The Business Model Generation, and every time I got ideas from it and we made a business plan online and, you know, it showed our income. I think we were at like $1 million a year. That was really wishful thinking, like completely packed every single day. And the Small Business Association set up a few classes and we went to a few of them to get started, to figure out how to do everything. But honestly, to me, it seemed outdated and kind of a waste of my time. Going through it, everything that I was reading was providing a lot more information than these people that were setting up these free courses. That might have just been a personal thing, but that's the only one I can remember at the moment.
Marketta, I know that you handle pretty much everything in Steal and Escape. For you, was there a moment where things changed, where you felt like the business had turned a corner, or was it just gradual?
I guess it was just gradual. I remember we went to escape room meetup, just talking to other people, and it was very new. And talking to people, trying to figure out what they're doing, and just learning, and learning really hard way. We just had so many ideas about advertising. We tried like TV and radio and flyers and just like so many different things, just putting more and more money. But then we just learned that, you know, word of mouth, it's the best thing for us. And then we just started people writing reviews for us and then take pictures. And Facebook was really big, right? So everyone would just post picture on Facebook and tag their friends. They did it for us. And we talked to people and our friends, our Navy friends, and just talking more and more.
I like hearing you say that because I always suspected that was one of the best ways to spread the word, but we don't exactly have a lot of hard data on what is the most effective means of advertising.
Jason, when I had first met you, you were obsessed with finding the best hint system that you possibly could. And we had a very long conversation about this. Talk me through what you were focusing on back then.
Yeah, I don't think that it's changed much from back then as it is now.
I don't think it has either, which I love.
The bottom line, no one wants a hint because no one wants to feel stupid. And I definitely didn't want anyone to feel stupid, right? It goes back to the very beginning where these puzzles that I create, they're extra easy for me because I created them and it just makes so much sense to me. And then when our first beta test, I think it was like 3 hours long, and I'm thinking, these are really easy puzzles. Why is it taking people so long to figure it out? And then it gets into the line of, all right, what do you have in the room that leads them to go to the next puzzle? And do you need a hint to tell them to do that? All right, let's say we don't want a hint. Okay, then we need something in the room that will tell them to do that. And that's kind of where I'm at with the hint system, where I just want it to be incorporated into the game as much as possible. But it's always lingering there. Ideally, there would be no hints given by the GMs. It would be the room that would know when to give somebody a hint. But honestly, I don't even know when I need a hint sometimes. And that's why it's nice to have that really seasoned game master. You always get that question. Do you want me to give you hints or do you want to wait and ask? And I ask, how many rooms have you ran? Because if they say one, then I'm going to say, all right, I'll ask for the hints when I need them. But if they say probably about 1,000, then I'll be like, all right, we don't really want hints because we want to figure out the puzzles. But if you see us struggling, then help us out if we're going completely in the wrong direction.
That's a great point because my team always says, if we're spinning our wheels for too long, go ahead and give us a hint. But you're right. We have to consider the experience level of the GM as well, that they'll know the subtleties of when to prompt a team or if they're on the very edge to just that they have the self-control to just wait and give the team that aha moment. So, Jason, we recently recorded a Spoilers Club episode for your very creative game, The Missing Season. And this episode is available for higher level Patreon backers. And in it, we discussed a lot of things, but one thing that really jumped out was your desire to design for fun. You had told us you really wanted to put in all the toys and fun things you've always wanted to put in an escape room. So what inspired this?
That this was going to be our final build, the final room we were going to design, and to just have fun with it and get everything in there. All these props that I've been hoarding for 10 years, just thinking that they might be an idea.
Just using all the last ideas, right? Like, I have such a good idea for escape room, such a good idea for puzzles. Let's just use them because this is it, the last game.
Yep.
It does feel like a bit of a kitchen sink room. Is this actually the last game?
Yes and no.
Yeah. The two of us, I guess if you get into love languages, if that could even be used in this, our love language is building together. I'm great at coming up with the ideas, and she's great at designing it. I can make things work, and she makes them pretty. What we always thought would be fun is, what if we just shut down and we just tour around as consultants and go and fix other rooms? Like, I'll throw tech in there and she can do redesign. Because when we go into rooms now, we love rooms, but I like to touch pipes on the wall, see if they're PVC or real steel. And I'm like, oh, real steel. All right. They really went over above and beyond.
You and me both, friend.
We look at the ceilings and she's like, oh, that's a nice wallpaper they used. And we're just looking at that part of it. So there's that. But on a different side of things, we can't talk about it much yet, but we are forming a partnership with Rich Wilson from Trapped. And we have something really interesting coming up in the works that should be coming out this year, spring this year.
That's Rich from Trapped, which has locations in Upland, California, and also in Las Vegas.
Yes.
He also owns Lost Games in Vegas, if memory serves.
Yes, he does.
Okay, interesting. We're taking a moment to thank our sponsor, Morty. Morty is a free app for discovering, planning, tracking, and reviewing escape rooms, haunts, and other immersive social outings. And Morty is now available for all to use on its fantastic website experience, iPhone app, and its new Android app, available in the Google Play Store now. I believe in Morty so much that I have a stake in it as an advisor.
If you own an escape room and want to boost visits to your page by up to 25%, make sure to sync your available time slots on Morty. It's totally free and it's easy to set up. They support Bookio integration as well as Rezova. So once it's set up, you don't have to do anything else. And I know for me personally, it is so convenient when I'm looking up escape rooms for me to see the available times. You can learn more at morty.app/repod, that's R-E-P-O-D, to sign up and get a special badge for our listeners. Link and details in the show notes.
The Missing Season has a little bit of physicality to it, but your intent was to have quite a bit more. What are the pros and cons of designing for physicality?
Honestly, I don't think that there's really any pros.
That's not true, because not every team likes physicality, but like my team loves it. You know, they like stuff where you gotta have a little bit of not athletic ability, but you really gotta put your back into it.
When you have teamwork, that's one thing. And when people are working together to accomplish that puzzle, I enjoy that. With the physical stuff, my problem is that the physical things didn't seem physical to me. They just seemed like a regular escape room until you put them all together and you have people exhausted and sweating after the room.
Jason, I think that you do a very bad job of understanding what physical means for normal humans.
So this is Jason's problem. Jason is 6'3". He's a really big guy. He likes to build things to his height. So he likes to put things really high, and then he put puzzle really high. And then normal people like me go in and like, I cannot even reach it. I cannot even see it. And he does the same thing for the heavy stuff. Whatever is super easy for Jason is very hard for other people. So he built Missing Season to normal people according to Jason. But to normal people according to the rest of the world, are very heavy and high. We had people starting playing Missing Season and beta testing and everything just to learn this is so crazy. But he didn't want to change it because he loved it so much. So we just put it on a website. Watch out, this is a little bit harder. Watch out, there is this thing and that thing. That's what he likes to do.
It's true.
There is an element in that game that brought back a little bit of PTSD from my Survivor days. Something a little bit reminiscent of a Survivor challenge. I talk about it in more detail in the Spoilers Club. So if you're interested, make sure to check that out.
I will say, I think that there is a lot of value in the physical elements that you have built into that game. I think that they're memorable. I think that when you really have to put effort into something, you feel it on a different level.
That's why we play escape rooms, right? It's not a video game. We want something physical. We want some element of physicality.
Yeah, it's not weightless. And I think about, have any of you played the Ubisoft virtual escape games? They made an Assassin's Creed one. They made a Prince of Persia one. They're really fun.
Were they pop-ups or they're still running?
They're still running. They were only licensing it to other escape room companies as well as VR arcades. So you can probably find one somewhere near you. All three of the games that they have released for this are really fun. They involve a lot of climbing in a virtual space because Ubisoft loves their climbing puzzles.
They do.
My wife, Lisa, when she played this for the first time, she was doing the climbing part and didn't realize that she was climbing. From her perspective, she was moving the world. And she loudly proclaimed this while playing it, which all of us who were around thought that this was the funniest thing because she just didn't have a video game perspective. But looking at it the way that she did, there is an utter weightlessness to the climbing that doesn't give you that physical embodiment. You're doing the motions of climbing, but you're not feeling any weight other than the paddles, which weigh next to nothing. I do think that having a bit of heft to the things that you've built, I think you're on to something. Marquetta's right. You need to have normal people test what weight actually feels like. But I don't think that you were barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah. We had this. It was a puzzle I never got to do, but it involved using mechanical advantage with, I don't know, a 27-to-1 ratio. So you had a gigantic rock and you'd have to find the pulleys and the ropes and lay them out correctly so you could pull the other end and turn this 200-pound rock into a 5-pound rock or whatever the ratio was. It seemed a little extremely unsafe, and I couldn't figure out a good way to not have someone get hurt, so I decided not to do it.
That's fair, but that sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'm sticking with PG's assessment of this.
I think what happens a lot is that experienced players love our games, but we also have a lot of people that never play escape room before and they don't know what to expect. So when you go play Missing Season, on the website it says some rooms are really hot, some are really cold, but we didn't want people to know because we wanted them to be like, oh my gosh, why is this so cold? Why is this so hot? But then we have people that never play before and they come in their high heels and they just are not ready for this and they don't appreciate it because they don't know that escape rooms are a little bit of everything. And that's why we just keep putting more and more stuff on our website to describe the rooms to be ready for that. So we get a lot of phone calls. Hey, what do you mean it's cold? How cold? Do I need my winter jacket? What do you mean it's really hot? But some people love it. And some people don't. And because we have so many people that never played before, still, after so many years of escape rooms, they just still come and they just have no idea and they don't appreciate it. So that's why we do it.
I think that the information that you put on your website and the photos that you have do a really good job of priming people. I think that the cold part of the Missing Season feels a little bit more cold because you go in expecting cold.
Yes.
I think that in some ways it's actually helpful, the information that you're giving away. And I'm sure it is helpful for those new players, but I don't think that you are diminishing or spoiling or ruining any of these moments by disclosing that they're there, in some ways, I actually think that it makes it feel a little bit more, because you're knowingly consenting to it.
BuzzShot is escape room software, powering business growth, player marketing, and improving the customer experience. They offer an assortment of pre- and post-game features, including robust waiver management, branded team photos, and streamlined review management for Yelp, TripAdvisor, Google Reviews, and Morty. BuzzShot now also has integration with our other Repod sponsors, Morty and Cogs.
Trusted by thousands of escape rooms worldwide, BuzzShot provides industry-leading tools and amazing customer support. When you book a BuzzShot demo, you won't get a sales pitch. The team at BuzzShot genuinely wants to understand your business so they can tailor their software to match your unique needs.
When asked about BuzzShot, Dawson McKay of Escape Alaska told us this. Responsive and helpful support is above and beyond anything I've experienced with any other service. Streamline your marketing and grow your escape room business. Repod listeners get an extended free trial and 20% off your first 3 months with no setup fees or hidden charges. Visit buzzshot.com/repod, that's R-E-P-O-D, to learn more. Link and details in the show notes. In The Missing Season, you also collaborated with fellow escape room podcaster Kadir Kai of Escape Break, which is a show that mostly focuses on Southern Californian escape rooms. But he has done a lot of really great voiceover work for that game. So what's the backstory of this collaboration?
So I was building the room and I have the narrator who reads you what's happening throughout the entire room. And I had the voice in my head and I tried a bunch of things to make the voice myself because it was easier to record my own lines and use Audacity and things. But no matter what, it just sounded like my voice. So we had a GM record it. Then we went to Fiverr, whatever it is, and looked for someone to record it. And that didn't work out. And I heard Cager talking on his podcast, doing an introduction for a pirate theme room. And I thought, that's the voice that's in my head. So I wrote him an email and I told him to come down and beta test the room and I'll tell him why afterwards. So him and Shad came down and he walked out and said, I know what you brought me here for and I'll do it. And all these recordings that I got from him, they're perfect. He has the tone and he threw in laughs and things that I never thought about. So it really makes the entire room. I wish everyone got to hear all of the things he recorded, but they are in fact our hint system. So if a group is doing really well, then they might not hear him as much, but he just flows into the story. So you don't really feel like you're getting a hint. You just feel like it's the narrator talking because he does it so often.
As the icy wind howled, it penetrated their bones. They searched around the room for answers. Stay off the grass. Snow is poisonous. They didn't know why the signs were posted, but someone put them there for a reason. They thought it best to follow the written advice.
Back in May of 2015, I wrote a post titled Escape Room Design, Step 1, Research. And if I'm being honest with you, I would have forgotten about this post if it weren't for the fact that, Jason, you hung a passage from it up on the wall of your workshop. Help me understand what made this piece that I probably hammered out in 20 minutes out of frustration after playing a terrible escape room. What about this resonated with you?
I think it was just Googling whatever I was Googling with escape rooms and just finding as much information as I could and seeing those points that you had made and those ideas being a part of me, thinking about those ideas when I opened the room and kind of thinking, all right, I'm onto something if we both feel the same way. If someone who reviews escape rooms has that same mindset that I have, that it became our mission statement. We never really had an official mission statement, but having that on the wall and walking by, especially during those really dark times where we didn't think we were going to make it, and reevaluating all of our things based off that list. All right, how's our website? Location, we can't really change now, but we're going to adapt and overcome. And puzzles, and just having that checklist, it was a good foundation for us to build the room.
When I found out that you had that on your wall, it just blew me away. When you had told me about it, I didn't even remember writing the post. I had to like go way back and find it. What I had written, at least the section that you had on the wall, as I still have the photo of it that you had sent me, a lot of these escape game companies are going to fail because they have, and this is just a long bulleted list, boring/cliche games, puzzles that are too easy, puzzles that are too hard, poor/aggressive/mean customer service, a terrible website, a horrible location, no concept of how to run a business, escape game or otherwise. Get out there and see what's working. I don't enjoy writing negative reviews. If you don't produce a bad experience, then I won't have to. I truly didn't remember writing it. And just finding out that this had any impact on you, it was wonderfully jarring and has long been a reminder for both me and Lisa, but also for our whole team, that we never know what piece we write, which ones are going to have an impact to who. And sometimes you may never even know which ones resonate with someone. And so it's sort of a constant reminder for us to never phone it in and to always give it our all. Because if you would have asked me at the time if anyone was going to be especially moved by this, I probably would have assumed that everyone who read it would have thought that I was just being a sanctimonious prick.
Or maybe you just played a really bad room and you're just really upset. All right, let's just get this out. I'm going to send it, not even sleep on it.
That was definitely back in the day of I write a thing, Lisa proofreads it, and I click publish. Everything is now scheduled and there's a process, but this was definitely back in the day where I was just like, the thoughts entered brain, they came out through the fingers, and then they went onto the internet.
There's something to say too about your team and the reviews that they write, where I'm at the point now where I get my feedback for my beta test suggestions from our GMs and our managers and Marketa, and we'll fix it. But to read the reviews that they write, we love the reviews that have been written for us, but there's always a takeaway. And as much as I don't want to see the cons, I kind of look forward to it because I get in my head like, there's no way they're going to find a con with this thing because it's polished. It'd be cool to even have your team, not that they don't work enough already, but to even have a con list that, like, what could I improve? Because it's a completely different point of view that you're only going to get from people who've played a ton of rooms. And they're actually like small fixes, but they could really help out, at least peace of mind kind of thing.
Happy to help out anytime. Changing subjects, Jason, you spoke at the first Recon back in 2020 and gave the intro to Tech Talk. We had asked you to speak specifically because you were self-taught. You didn't have an engineering background and decades of experience building things. How did you get yourself into the escape room tech world?
As soon as we got back from our Budapest trip and I started writing down all the ideas I had, I knew I wanted electronics to be involved, but I didn't know anything about programming. I figured out there was something called an Arduino, which is a small microcontroller, and I found there was an Arduino meetup in San Diego. I just started going to them with questions. I remember the very first thing I couldn't figure out, there were 6 buttons, and you had to push them in order. If you got it correct, it would open a drawer. If you got it wrong, it would blink 3 times and make a buzzer noise. And I just couldn't figure that out. So I was asking everyone at the meetup, how do you do this? And I finally ran into Cameron and his dad. Cameron was, I don't know, 13 or 14. And I explained the problem. And he wrote me an email the next day with all the code on how to do it. And I'm just thinking, this is absolutely incredible. And then you start learning about. I learned how to code, and it is now a pretty basic, simple thing. But at the time, it's what I needed to really get going, to even just learn where to start. And Cameron, he worked with us. Whenever I had a really crazy problem, he would come and help out. And it's just like this 13-year-old kid, right? And he's just growing up in this escape room world. And he just helped us out all the time. Whenever things got really crazy, I'd call him up, be like, hey, I can't fix this. So he's with us. And then the San Diego Library kicked us out of our Arduino meetings there. And I said, hey, we have the warehouse. So I brought everyone to have the meetings at our warehouse, which was even better because when I couldn't figure something out, I have a whole bunch of guys there to help me troubleshoot.
Your own personal nerd army. Fantastic.
I was going to say, this is like the Doogie Howser of escape rooms. 13-year-old on call. That's amazing.
And it's so wild, all these talks of imposter syndrome, right? And I still face it. If someone wants to ask me a question about electronics, I'm like, okay, let's see what you're going to ask. And I've pretty much been able to answer them, but I never would have thought about that. So now at the Arduino meetings, I'm the guy who can actually help people out instead of just feeding off everyone's knowledge, which is even better.
Fake it till you become it.
Yeah.
You're the Cameron now.
Yeah. Marquetta, I know you do a lot of the set design work. Was there anything like that for you along the way where there was something you really wanted to be able to make, but it wasn't within the skill set that you have? Was there anything that you really had to reach for?
I think when we started, I know very little about painting and designing. And YouTube became my best friend, just like looking at some different ideas, different designs and stuff. But then just learning the hard way, doing stuff just to find out it's really bad and just starting from scratch. And then just learning more about paint and just trying new things, new designs. Like so many times, I would just do like the whole room. I would paint it and just design it and do stuff and then show Jason. And he's like, oh, this is really cool. And I'm like, no, I hate it. And then just take the whole thing down and start all over till it was perfect. Yeah, it's all about the brushes and different supplies and different paint. And, you know, you really get what you pay for and just learning that.
Tell them about the styrofoam walls in the temple.
Oh, yeah, we have in the expedition, Jason wanted to have this temple. I just went on YouTube and then just get the special material we needed and just did everything just to find out after maybe 20 hours doing it and making it look really pretty, that it's not very people-proof.
Styrofoam has that tendency.
Yes, it's not very good. So then just took the whole thing down, bought something else that cost me about $3,000, and it's still there 5 years later, and it's amazing.
It looks great.
Yeah, that's because she has like 8 different colors on one brick, even going into those little divots and things.
Just little details, a lot of colors. You cannot just paint it one color. It has to have at least 4. Then it looks good.
Since retiring from the Navy, you struck up a career as a penetration tester. I know you can't speak about specific jobs, but generally speaking, what do you do and what's exciting about it?
It's what I've always loved from being a small kid, was taking things apart and understanding how they work. That's why I've liked hacking and lockpicking and medicine. I mean, that's what I did in the Navy. I was a medic that entire time until I started getting into the electronics. So the new job, I'm the hardware guy on the team. People pay us to take something apart. I figure out the best way to take it apart, and then I tell the company who hired us how you can protect it to make it more difficult for the real bad guys to take things apart. And it is my passion to do that every single day. I wake up in the morning and I'm excited to go to work, and I look at my watch and I'm upset that I need to leave because I'm getting paid to figure things out and to learn every day.
Whoa, the dream.
Yeah, that's awesome. 100%. So like you're doing work like a medical device company has something that gets implanted in somebody and you need to figure out how someone would go and hack that and do bad things. And how do you prevent that from happening?
Yeah. And it's like a SEAL platoon to me, where we're a small group and everyone is good at everything, but very good at specific things. So one guy's good at apps. Another guy's good at cloud stuff. One guy does the website stuff. So everyone knows how to help out with everything. But when it comes down to specifics, everyone's very good at one aspect, which is great to work with someone while I'm looking through firmware, trying to find a password, and they're trying to get into an app and they need a password. Or I say, hey, try this password I found in the firmware. And they're like, all right, cool, it worked. And that's when you get those wins where you're just, it's just a great day when you figure out how something works.
It's awesome. As someone who works with their spouse, when I have the opportunity to interview life partners who are also business partners, I always like to ask, what's the superpower that your partner has that you could just never imagine doing that work yourself?
Go ahead. I don't have a clue how to respond to this. There's so much. And you're thinking the same thing. He's just wonderful. Yeah, I know. All right.
Superpower. Dang, you have superpower?
I'm always very impressed with Jason knowing so much about electronics. I love it when I go in, for example, the temple in Expedition. And I always hit him up like, how about we have these rocks? And once you place the rocks, something amazing will happen, like different lights, different sounds, different things, just like super crazy colors. And Jason's like, yeah, no problem. I'll do it. I really love that he can do that.
Yeah. And I like that I can make something work and go into the room and say, hey, this works. Do whatever you need to do. Just don't mess with this piece, but make it however you want it to look. And to just come back and it'll just look amazing. And for me to be worried about something and for her to say, you don't need to worry about that. That's my job, right? When it comes to the employees or to finances or marketing, she's like, I got this. Just worry about your stuff and I'll worry about mine. And it's such a relief to not be so independent and make every choice myself, to be able to depend on someone else to make that choice. And they have that follow through. That's her superpower. Good follow through.
You two are adorable.
That is very cute. I will say, David, I was impressed when I came to visit you and Lisa, and I think I had made one offhand comment about the zipper on my backpack being broken or something. And next thing I know, you've already dug out tools and you're like, how can I fix this? And I was like, whoa, this is amazing. This is amazing. And I was like, Lisa's a lucky woman.
Totally.
I know you had mentioned earlier that you have a project that you're working on with Richard. Do you have a name for it that you want to talk about right now? Or
we're making a company. It's called It's a Blast, and it's going to be in Vegas. And it's actually not an escape room, but it's more of an experience. So I'm coming into it with my electronics, and Marquetta's coming in with all of her designing. And it's going to be a series of challenges that are replayable, and you have a score. So you actually would go through the room as many times as you want to increase your score with it.
Oh, that sounds super fun. There's been a lot of buzz about these challenge arenas, challenge arcades, more physicality, as you were mentioning. So get to be a little more physical playing these things. I think that sounds really exciting, and I can't wait to see what you're doing with this.
Rich had approached us before when I was getting out of the Navy, and I still had to find a job. I had all these people depending on me. So I said, it's just not in the cards. And he approached me again for my skill set. And if anyone else had approached me, I probably would have said no, but I've played Rich's rooms and he has incredible rooms, and looking at what he's done for all his businesses, I just thought it'd be a lost opportunity to not work with him and help him out, because his idea, it seems incredible and we're totally on board with it.
Can't wait to see what you do with it.
That's exciting. I'm a big fan of his game Pandora's Box.
Such a good game.
Yeah, I think that might be in my top three.
What's the best way for people to follow your work or connect with you?
I would say probably Instagram. We try to post a lot of things in there.
What's your Instagram handle?
Still and Escape.
Okay. We'll have all the links for that in the show notes.
Jason, Marquetta, thank you so much for joining us. You know that I am a longtime fan of your work and also just a fan of the two of you as people. I really, truly respect the way that you have formed this company from really nothing and the way that you endured the struggles of those early years and emerged with incredible skill sets and wonderful games. I have so much admiration for what you both have accomplished, and it's been a pleasure being able to send people to play your games, share your knowledge at Recon, and just get to know you and your work over the years. So thank you.
We really appreciate that. And I could say the same thing with what you're all doing. It's incredible to get it out there. And what you started with, we're both in that same spot when I read that article you did. And now what you've amounted to creating all of this, it's pretty incredible from this side of things. I really appreciate that, especially with Recon forming an actual escape room convention. I think that's incredible. Things are a lot easier. I don't know if I can say they're a lot easier now than they were when we came, but at least there's a lot of information and a lot of people are willing to spread that information.
Thank you. The Reality Escape Pod is produced by Teresa Piazza with support by Lisa Spira. We're edited by Steve Ewing of Stand Inside Media, music by Ryan Elder, logo by Janine Procht, and all of this is brought to you by RoomEscapeArtist.com, your home for well-researched, rational, and reasonably humorous escape room and immersive gaming content and events. If we haven't made it clear enough this season, the Reality Escape Convention, Recon, is happening August 18th and 19th, 2024. And if you buy your tickets before May 1st, you will get special benefits in the form of priority session selection for Imagine Ne'er-do-wells and the 49 boxes. Do it now. Get your tickets. We'd also really appreciate it and hope to see you at Recon. You can learn more at realityescapecon.com. Details in the show notes. Believe it or not, we are 10 years into Room Escape Artist. And it took a long time for us to decide that we were going to go and open up a Patreon, but we eventually got there because some loyal readers at the time were really insistent. Over the years, we have added a lot of different things to that Patreon. People at the $5 level get access to the bonus show for this podcast. Folks at the $15 level get the incredible Spoilers Club. But more than anything, they get to support all of the things that we're doing here. And that, it's hard to tell you just how much that means to PG and I, to the entire team at Room Escape Artist. We put in so much time, so much love, and so much energy into everything that we are doing here to support the escape room and immersive gaming communities, to push them to be safer and more fun, to be smarter and more efficient, to try and pull new players in. We're working on all of these things all the time. And the money and support that we get from our Patreon community is the fuel that keeps all of that moving forward. If you're a part of that, thank you so much. And if you have been considering becoming a part of it, give it a shot. We really, truly will appreciate it. Thanks. You can learn more about all of this at patreon.com/roomescapeartist. Big thank you to our highest level Patreon supporters. Karen, Dawnward, Panic Room, Piyush from SEO Orb, Olivier Escape, Escaparium, Byron Delmonico, Breakout Games, Keystone Escape Games, Derek Tam, Paula Swan, and Rex Miller. Thank you for your ongoing support. And thank you to all of our patrons at all levels.
You've made it to the end of this podcast. You must be an amazing, resilient, and very loyal person. If you're still feeling that delightful afterglow, why don't you head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you review your podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. It really means a lot, and it helps us to spread the word.
In the Lost Expedition, you need to transfer fuel from one room to the other room, kind of like a cooperation drill. And we can see on the camera to see what everyone's up to. You have a big, heavy metal gas can, and you have to hook it up to a hose and then hook the funnel up and pour it through the funnel so it goes through the wall into the other person's gas can. And this group was just really struggling, and I couldn't see because of the camera, and they were all standing in front of it. And finally, one of them moves out of the way, and I see one person holding the gas can high up on one camera, and on the other side, the guy has the tube around his mouth so he can siphon the gas from one side to the other. And I'm just looking at this like, there's no way they can think that's what you need to do, because we purposely made the water like it's brown. It's not supposed to be drinkable to put in your mouth or anything. So I come on the mic and, you know, they have a good laugh about it. But so far, that group has come to play every single room, and they always make that comment. They're like, there's the guy who tried to siphon the gas, like something they've never let him live through. And that's been like 7 years or whenever the first one was. It's just been so long. And I think that's really fun to me.
Oh, that's great.
That was a good one.